Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. With you tuning in on the radio dial, we welcome you all back to our program. Others tuning in through our online affiliates literally around the world. We're glad to have all of you with us as well. You know, I always am excited to welcome all of our guests to the program, but especially those that are repeat guests on our program, like our guest today. I'm really excited to welcome back Amber Smith to our show. Had a chance to speak with Amber with her first book, her debut, that's now a New York Times bestseller called The Way I Used to Be. She's back this year with another powerful book called The Last to Let Go. We're going to talk to Amber not only about the journey of being able to write two great books that have been so well received, but also what it's been like for her to tackle some pretty tough topics as she's kind of giving us these characters and allowing us to take the experience along with them. If just so hearing about Amber's new book, we'll tell you at the end of our segment how you can be able to get it for yourself. But Amber, hello to you and welcome back to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, glad to do it. I'm excited to be able to have the conversation with you. Amber, first of all, congratulations once again on another bestseller, The Last to Let Go. I asked you before we went on here, and I definitely want our audience to be able to enjoy this. I mean, what has this experience been like for you, Amber? If you kind of reflect on, first of all, right out of the gate, your debut novel being a New York Times bestseller. Now here we are just literally a month after the release of the second book, already having another bestseller. What has it been like for you to see the response to the books?
It's been, you know, even though my first book came out 2 years ago now, it's still really surreal. You know, every time I get an email or a message from a reader who tells me, you know, how much the book meant to them or that it helped them to heal some aspect of their life. And it's been the same with the second book as well. You know, the second book has been about 5.5 years or so in the making. So it's been quite a long journey for me. So it's pretty amazing that the book is out now and it's like something that I can hold in my hands and it's a real thing. And it's, I don't know if the feeling of getting reader feedback ever kind of gets, you know, loses its magic, because that's the biggest thrill for me is hearing from people and connecting with them over the subjects in my books.
Right. And you've given us some pretty powerful subjects. I mean, going back to, like I said, the first book, The Way I Used to Be, you know, I thought about when I first read that book, Amber. I mean, wow, how brave to be able to tackle, you know, topics like, you know, assault and, you know, the life after and being able to take us into these characters. And I asked you this, too, as we were getting ready to go on here. I mean, going into book two and, you know, I think knowing the success that you've had at the time you and I are having this conversation, literally hundreds of reviews already for that first book. The reviews are already coming in for the brand-new book, like I said, that's just a month old. I mean, did you have any of that, you know, sophomore anxiety going from such a success to the new book?
Yeah, I definitely did have some of that sophomore anxiety that you mentioned. Sort of the nice thing about the second book was that since I had been working on it for so long already, I kind of had most of the book written before my first book ever came out. So as far as the anxiety with actually writing the book, I didn't feel too much of that, but I've definitely had some anxiety with releasing the book and just sort of trying not to pay too much attention to reviews and that sort of thing, because I'm also working on my third book right now. And it's like, it's funny, every time I get reviews, I sort of get sucked into this vortex, whether it's a positive review or a negative review, it kind of messes with my headspace a little. So I've kind of tried to cut myself off from looking at that stuff recently, but
got you.
Yeah, it's an interesting process.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because I have spoken to some authors, Amber, and I may have mentioned this to you before, who stay away from them altogether. In fact, it was one author said the first review she ever looked at on Amazon was my review, and that was author Catherine Coulter when I had her on the program. And she said, you know, she just doesn't like to do it because she the same thing, basically. So it's interesting when you said that because, you know, I think it's an interesting, you know, conversation, too, because, you know, we as readers, I know for myself, you know, I try to, of course, be aware of the fact that not everyone's read the book when I'm writing a review, so I don't try to spoil it for people. But I'm so excited to share it with someone, and I'm thankful for platforms like my website and Amazon to be able to do that. Of course, they also reach out to you, Amber, through social media. What has that part of the experience been like?
That's really one of the greatest things. I've seen, you know, pictures of my new book coming in from all different places throughout the country. And it's just amazing because, you know, here I am, you know, sitting in my home in North Carolina and, you know, I'm connecting with people all the way across the country. And like with my first book, which has been published in foreign countries, it's, you know, even expanded beyond the U.S. and I'm connecting with people in Indonesia and Russia and Brazil, all these places that I've never been, yet somehow I'm connected to people through the book.
Right. That is a beautiful way of saying it, connected, because I think it ties in perfectly with the themes that you've been able to address. We're going to get into that. Amber, I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're already having a great conversation with our author, Amber Smith, who's back with us. We're celebrating her second book called The Last to Let Go. We're about to dive into this book a little bit more. As I mentioned, you have not been afraid, Amber, to discuss very difficult topics. You did it again, like I said, with the first book. This book is so layered, The Last to Let Go, because you give us so many different things. You know, self-love, I think, is a great way of saying one of the themes is self-identification, but also being able to move past, as the title even alludes to, being able to move past things that may have happened in our lives and being able to realize, of course, you know, who we are, the importance of seeing ourselves and being seen by others and how that's important. You know, what has that part of this experience been like for you to tackle these topics that are not easy to talk about in quote-unquote real life but become easier because it is in a work of fiction?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. You know, sometimes things are so personal that it really helps to kind of take our experiences outside of ourselves and be able to relate to fictional characters. And I definitely feel like that's a lot of the feedback I've gotten with both of my books, both from people who have gone through things like sexual assault or domestic violence and people who haven't. You know, I think it's really interesting. Just in the last couple of years since my first book came out, I think we're seeing people, you know, around the country or across the world really having that courage to talk about tough issues in a way that's pretty unprecedented with things like the hashtag MeToo campaign and the Time's Up recent initiative. And for me, I think I really want to write about issues that have impacted me personally. And I always think about, you know, because I write for young adults or teenagers, and I always think about that time in my life. It was so difficult and so hard, and I felt so alone. And whenever I'm writing books now, I always think back to my younger self and think about, you know, what were the kinds of messages I needed and what were the kinds of books I really needed back then. And so those are the stories that I want to tell. And often, you know, it's about difficult issues.
Right. And I think that is a great way of talking about this new book. Because I think, you know, even, you know, difficult issues are never, I think, easy for any of us. But you, again, you did what you did in the first book, Amber, and that is take us along the journey with Brooke, who's the main character of the newest book, you know, by writing the book in first person. Do you think that's just the way that you are the most comfortable telling stories, that in order to really get to the heart of who these characters are, you have to literally become them on the page?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because both of my two books so far have been told in first person. I don't know. I don't know that it was necessarily a conscious choice on my part, just that sort of how this story formed. Now that I think about it, when I'm reading books, I think I tend to be a little bit more emotionally invested if I'm reading books in told in first person. So that might be part of it too.
Got you. Well, mm-hmm. And with Brooke, you really give her a lot to deal with. she's dealing with school.
Yes.
She's dealing with friendships, relationships, of course, family drama. But is that also part of the fun for you to see how your characters are able to come out the other side with everything that they're dealing with?
Yeah, definitely. I think with all of the stories that I've written, it's always about this journey of kind of working through something that's really hard and kind of having to learn how to tap into your own inner strength to make it through to the other side and to really grow, because that's what we do in life all the time.
Right.
And I know, just in my own personal life, those times when I'm really low or, I'm dealing with something that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do it. Once I come out the other side and I look back, I realize how much stronger I was than I thought. And it's sort of that journey that I try to infuse in my book.
Yeah, for sure. And with Brooke, of course, one of the big things that we find out, that we know fairly easily, is that she's dealing with trauma in the family. It's something that's a tragedy that's happened with her family that has kind of really shook her world up. But it doesn't end there for her. I mean, she, she's in school. She's dealing with things there. She's having, what's the best way to say it? She's having conscious choices she's making just to be able to try to stay afloat if she's trying to meander the world on her own. I want to talk to you about the one thing that really got me, and that was the idea of being seen and being accepted. One of the individuals that Brooke meets is grappling with their own issues with family, and, they are, have come into who they are and want their family to be able to love them and accept them for who they are. That is not what's happening. But it's an interesting dialogue that takes place in that, and I'll talk around this so I don't spoil it for those who haven't read it. But the thing that struck me was that the idea that, okay, here were my parents who made decisions that others may not have approved of, yet they did what was right for them. And that's what that's what this individual was saying to Brooke, that she wants as well. What was that like for you to add that layer to the story, the idea of being seen for who one is and to be able to walk in that truth and not to be ashamed of it?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you just now mentioned shame, because I think that's a big part of the underlying story of the whole book, both in regard to the domestic violence aspect as well as, Brooke coming to terms with her identity as a lesbian, essentially. And it has to do with shame. And I think one of the things I wanted to do with Brooke was to show how growing up in this really abusive, dysfunctional environment impacted her not only in her ability to form relationships with other people, whether that's friendships or her relationships with her siblings, which are very important to her, or romantic relationships, because part of being seen is also about knowing yourself. And
right.
With Brooke's upbringing, it's almost like she always had so much on her plate to deal with, and she had this very carefully constructed role that she played in her family. And there really wasn't room for her to explore who she was. And so, of course, when her world is sort of turned upside down by this tragedy, in one sense, it's really heart-wrenching and painful. But in the other way, her world has kind of broken open, and she also has these new possibilities for herself that were always closed off to her before.
Right. for sure. I think when you were just talking just now, Amber, I was thinking about a powerful scene with Brooke and her mother. And I'll talk around this, so it's not to spoil it. Basically, about trying to hold on to normal, trying to do your part. Basically, what we hear when people talk about walking on eggshells, you know, trying to keep peace and realizing that it's not real, you know, no matter what, that it's not real. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, that's what life has become like. You know, you're trying to have this image, especially in the world we're in today with social media and everyone trying to have the best filtered image out there to let the truth be seen. I think, is that also one of the big things, even when, you know, I just thought about too, when Brooke makes a revelation that this person she's talking with wasn't even looking for, you know, about the truth, about, you know, being honest, you know, and what that looks like and the freedom that comes with that. Was that kind of what you felt as well, that really the big part of letting go is the freedom that comes along with it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the truth is so multifaceted that we aren't always able to kind of grasp the entirety of the truth of a situation, whether that's dealing with our identity or our family life or tragedy. And it's sort of a growing process that helps us to sort of see the whole picture. And with Brooke, she's really, that's part of her whole journey, is really having a clear view of everything that's happened. And part of that is about letting go of this life that she thought she had, because it's really in many ways an illusion of, you know, this outer image of things being okay and normal. And she clings to that so hard. But part of her journey is really learning how to let go on many levels, letting go of the things that are unhealthy for her, letting go of these ideas of how she thought her life should be. And it's really a scary thing to do. But in letting go, you often make room for the really good things that are going to come in your life.
For sure. For sure. Did you see, I mean, of course, you know, we always say, and this is not to put you on the spot, Amber, but, you know, we always hear that, you know, in all fiction there is some truth. Has that been an easy lesson for you to learn, the freedom and the importance of letting go?
No, it has not been an easy lesson. And I think that's why I wanted to write a book that dealt with this stuff, because I know, you know, as a young person, when I was in high school and college, those years, that was a really hard thing for me to be able to do. And it's something that really kind of continued into my adulthood. And I just, one of the things I look back on is, you know, if I had had some strong messages about the fact that it's okay to let go of things that are holding you back or things that are not good for you,
right.
I feel like I wouldn't have had a lot of the issues I had in my young adulthood had I had a message like that early on.
Well, I think that's the great thing about, as I said in the beginning of this conversation, Amber, when you're able to have a conversation around a book, I think it's less intimidating, and I think you're able to be more open. You know, there were so many different parts of this book that I kept thinking, wow, I know this person who I think would really appreciate that. I know this is a message that others will be able to. Talk to us about that, because, you know, as you said, this is a story that you have, I mean, and this, you know, for us all, I think we're learning more about this, about the process for you. So this was a story that you had been living with for quite some time. How does it feel to finally be able to share it with the world?
You know, it feels really good. It feels really amazing to be able to see different people's reactions, because I've heard from teenagers and young people. I've heard from older people as well. One of the people I met at a bookstore event I did recently was an older woman who, you know, came up to me afterwards and told me her story about growing, or not growing up, but being trapped in this abusive marriage for a long time, and basically everything that I was saying was the reason I wrote this book. She was sort of validating that for me and saying that she was so glad that this book was there, and she was actually buying the book for her teenage grandchild. So
wow.
I feel like I've been hearing from people from all different walks of life, and it's been really powerful because I think people are connecting on different levels, like you said, whether it has to do with the identity aspect or the issue of domestic violence, because it's not just about that. It's also about it's about siblings. It's about learning the parameters of love and what that means. And I think that's something that everyone can relate to.
Yeah. There's a, not to throw the greatest showman into this, but in one part of the book when Brooke is having a conversation, there's that line from The Greatest Showman that came to my mind in the song From Now On about going home. You can always go back home. In a sense, that was true for Brooke, right? I mean, that she was able to find what she needed. You know, we all have heard that saying, home is where the heart is. She was able to find that heart, right?
Yeah, exactly. Brooke is someone who, you know, really never felt like she belonged anywhere. And part of that was because she was never really comfortable with herself. And I think as she grows more aware of her own identity and really coming to terms with many of the hard realities in her life, she is able to create that home or that family that she always wanted. And it's something that, you know, she has to find for herself what the definition of security and love and family and home is.
Right, for sure. It's a powerful book, Amber, and so many different things. And I don't want our audience to not take away the fact that it's also very entertaining. So it's not just a lot of serious things. There are a lot of parts in it, I think, that will make you smile. But definitely, you know, just as I felt even with the first book, I think it definitely leaves you hopeful. And it makes you think about your own life, you know, and what you might be dealing with. And, you know, and I think as people are able to have conversations like this and to read books like this and have conversations, it definitely opens them up to more possibilities for themselves as well. Again, everyone, Amber Smith has been our guest. Another great conversation with her. The new book is called The Last to Let Go. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite bookstore. If your favorite bookstore does not have it, they would be more than happy to order it for you, so make sure you ask them. And Amber, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you?
Oh, definitely. I love hearing from readers. So you can find me online at ambersmithauthor.com. I'm on Twitter as A. Smith Author, and then I'm on Facebook and Instagram as at Amber Smith Author. So definitely connect with me there. I'd love to hear from readers and hear what you think.
All right. Well, Amber, congratulations to you again. So glad we had a chance to chat again. And it goes without saying, I'm looking forward to our next conversation together.
Oh, thank you so much, Cyrus. This was great.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.